It is my pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Greg Fell. I feel like I should just call you Pastor Fell. Greg is a pastor at heart and has served at our district as our district superintendent for about 2 decades. Come on up, Greg. Whenever Greg comes to preach, he wants to know how long he can preach until the Spirit tells you to stop.
Or the tomatoes start flying.
Well, the greenhouse is closed, so there's no tomatoes back there. But okay. I want to pray for you. Our gracious Father, as we invite Greg to deliver your word to us, we pray that you would encourage us in his message. May the words of his mouth be pleasing to you and challenging to us, that we might leave here a little bit more like Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Give him heaven.
Thank you, Pastor.
It's a privilege to be back with you again today, and I appreciate Pastor Steve allowing me to come. I always like to say thank you to the churches of the Rocky Mountain District. You are one of 80 churches in our district, and you are supporting the work of the district. The district's fully supported by the churches. We're a creation of the local churches to serve the local churches. So just the idea of some of the things that Pastor said that, I'm one of your missionaries. Well, what do your missionaries do? One of the things that you've done through your support over the past couple of years, in 2017, 11 of the 80 churches in our district were without a pastor. Well, where does a church go to find a pastor? They come to the district. So I do the training of the search teams, and I help the churches connect with pastors. Well, when I say I do that, really you do that, because as I said, you're supporting the district, so you help those 11 churches. You haven't had to go through that for a long time, almost a quarter of a century. But trust me, when you do have to go through that sometime in the future, not that I'm making an announcement or anything, but when you do have to go through that, you'll appreciate that other churches have also put together this support system for you. There are two churches meeting this morning in this district that would have closed this year if it weren't for this church. Because there are two churches in this district that they got so small, they didn't have the people they needed, they didn't have the finances they needed. And those churches would have closed if it weren't for this church. Because you support the district, the district's been able to step in and help them find a guy who would come in and work as a tent maker, and those churches are now in the process of recovery because of this church. This past week, I've had about 12 different phone calls from pastors in the district, three that are in crisis, three that just needed some help, some counsel. Where do pastors go? Well, they come to the district that you support. So you help those pastors. And the others just asking leadership questions, practical stuff. So again, that's part of what the district does. You're involved if there's something wrong here. I keep getting louder and softer. You're involved, if you're not aware of it, in 7 different church plants right now, 7 new churches that are taking place in this district because of you. So you're helping to start churches throughout Colorado and Wyoming and the Black Hills of South Dakota. And also, one of the things the district is doing is, you might have heard about a trip to Israel. Any of you heard about that? That's not just for pastors, though we have several pastors signed up. If you're interested in going on the Rocky Mountain District Israel trip, it's not too late to sign up for that. There's just a lot of things that are part of district ministry that you're part of, and I want to say thank you to this church for that. Open our Father's Word, if you would, this morning to Psalm 103. This week, we have that annual tradition, that annual holiday that we call what? I was thinking Black Friday, but I'll go with yours. Yours sounds a little bit better. I don't know about your family. A lot of families do this. My family, we have this tradition around the table. Do you do this? What are you thankful for? Do you do that? And do you feel a little like, oh, I've got to come up with something? And often it's, well, I'm thankful for family. It's interesting, we say we're thankful for family. About 3 days of them is all we can handle, right? And then we... Well, here's something to be thankful for. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Wow. Have you ever been so happy, so excited, that you just thought you were going to jump out of your skin? That's kind of the expression of this verse, you know. All that is within me, my liver, my spleen, my heart. Have you ever been that excited? I have a 15-year-old grandson. Guess what he is looking forward to? Driving. Yeah. But this goes a little bit deeper than that. Look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. I really appreciated this morning the mix of the worship. I'm in a different church every Sunday because I try to get to all of the churches in the district. And sometimes there's not a good balance in the worship, but there was a great balance this morning. There was a balance of praising God for what He has done, but there was also praising God for who He is. And I think that's what worship should be about. But this passage talks about His benefits. So think about some of the benefits that God gives you. We're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at 5 different benefits that we get because we have relationship with Him. Because we have the privilege of relationship with God the Father through Christ the Son. So, look at the first one. You've been forgiven. That's huge. That's huge. Think of the biggest blunder in your life. The thing that your family won't let go of. The thing that you're remembered for in your family. And by the way, that happens around our Thanksgiving table every year as well. Somebody becomes the identified person to pick on. Remember when you, and, you know, it just goes downhill from there, right? What is the thing that, the blunder that your family won't let go of or your friends keep remembering? Look at verse 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your sins. You're forgiven. When I was a young pastor, 29 years old, it was the second church that I was serving, and it was a very small church, later grew, but I got a call one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. By the way, that's when you always call your pastor at 2 in the morning, right? Stop doing that, please. I got a call at 2 in the morning, and by the way, for you younger people, we used to have phones that were tethered to the wall. I mean, you couldn't walk around, or I had to actually get up and, you know. And a voice on the other end, I didn't recognize the voice, said, I know who you are, and I know what you've done, and I'm going to get you. Click. Well, that kept me up for the rest of the night. The next night, 2 in the morning, phone rings, same voice, same message. I know who you are, I know what you've done, and I'm going to get you. Okay, now I went from introspection to a little bit of anger. Because I had 24 hours to think about this, and I couldn't figure out what it was. Third night, 2 in the morning, same phone call, same message. Now it went to, okay, I'm going to figure out how to get that call blocked so it doesn't come through anymore. All of us, when you get a message like that, it causes some introspection, right? Because we all have guilt. We all have areas of our life where we realize, I do need forgiveness. Think about the areas of your life where if the Lord Jesus were to physically walk into this building today and he were to look you in the eye, that you'd go, oh, I haven't conquered that one yet. And then look at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Forgiveness is huge. We need it from our family. We need it from our friends. We need it from our community and society. But we really need it from our Maker, don't we? Is there somebody that you have been angry with? Somebody that you're holding a grudge against right now in your life? Somebody that you want retribution from? That's not God's attitude towards you. In fact, look at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And then jump down to verse 10. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. You've been forgiven. Are you thankful for that as you move into this Thanksgiving season? Think about that area of your life that you know about that no one else does. That area of your life that the person sitting next to you right now, if they knew about it, they'd want to move across the aisle, right? Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Bow your heads in prayer right now, if you would. Just bow in prayer, close your eyes. Think about an area of your life where you know you have guilt, and then realize God has already removed that from you. He has forgiven you. And spend just 30 seconds praising and thanking him silently. Thank you, Father, that you do not treat us as our sin deserves, that you don't repay us according to our iniquities. We have so much to thank you for. But forgiveness, wow, you are a great and wonderful God. And we give you praise in the name of Christ. Amen. Did 30 seconds seem like a long time to you? Or was it too short? Not only are you forgiven, but the second one is that you have been eternally reconnected with God. The theological term for this is you have been redeemed. You've been eternally reconnected with God. It's great to be forgiven when you're guilty of something. When somebody says, I forgive you. But what if somebody forgives you and says, even though I forgive you, I really don't want to hang around you anymore. I don't want to have a relationship with you anymore. You know, forgiveness is nice, but redemption, we want a redeemed relationship as well. Look at the second part of verse 3, the first part of verse 4. And it's not going to connect immediately for you, but it says, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. And you're thinking, well, what's that got to do with redemption? Well, life can be the pits, for sure. I mean, we have sickness, we have illness, we have hurts. We have cancer in our life, which is an attack of the organs, which eventually leads to death. It's our sin, it's our fallen nature that creates the sickness, the illness that we have in our life. And that's in part attached to this redemption, but it goes further than that. I went to one of my high school reunions about 5 years ago. By the way, I'm not sure why you've got somebody this old on Youth Sunday standing here. That just doesn't make sense, but I remember this reunion 5 years ago, and I was even old then, and I showed up, and somebody comes up and shakes my hand, and they said, "Greg, it's so good to see you. You haven't changed a bit since high school." And I said, "Well, that explains why I couldn't get dates in high school. I mean, if..." Really? It seems in this passage, he redeems your life from the pit, and life can be the pits. But David wasn't referring, when he said, "Who heals all your diseases," to the physical diseases that we go through. Because at the time of David, healing from physical disease just wasn't a thing. We go through different epochs and periods in history. This point in history, it was not a thing. So David is referring not to physical illness, who redeems your life from the pit, who heals your diseases. He was talking about the disease, the illness of sin that is within us that creates this imperfect life that we have. In fact, in verse 9 it says, "He will not always accuse or harbor his anger forever." Well, wait a minute. He's angry with me? Why? How many of you here have at one time in your life had parents? Raise your hands. Okay, there are a few of you who never had parents. I want to talk to you afterwards because I want to know where you came from. You're obviously not paying attention. We all had parents, right? You just got that, didn't you? Okay. We've all had parents. Remember when your mom or your dad was really angry with you? Remember that? Did they stay angry with you? No. Why? Well, because they realized that you were a child and that, you know, children do so. That's the picture here. He won't always accuse or harbor his anger forever. In fact, look at verses 14 to 17. He knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're but dust. As for man, well, his days are like grass. He's flourished like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. In other words, we're kind of like annuals, not perennials, not evergreens. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Not only has he forgiven us, but he has reconciled us in relationship to him. It's not just you're forgiven, but because of that, now we have relationship with God. I'm going to ask you again, bow your head, close your eyes. Thank God that he wants relationship with you. Not just that you're forgiven, but that he has redeemed you. Again, Father, thank you that you understand your creation so well that you've not just forgiven our transgression, but you've separated us from it so much that now we have eternal hope of relationship with you. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. The third benefit that is ours as children of the living God is that we are loved. Great to be forgiven, even better to be reconciled, but we need more than that. We need to know that we are loved. After the basics are met, food and water and shelter, you know what the greatest human need is? Love. We need to be loved. In fact, broken relationships, whether they be marriages or friendships or whatever, it's not about the issues that we have identified. You did this, you said that. It's really about, I don't feel supported by you with love. Fulfillment in life doesn't come from a bigger house or a nicer car, the coolest electronics, or it comes from knowing that we are loved. Look at verse 4. He crowns you with love and compassion. In verse 8, we talked about forgiveness just a minute ago. After forgiveness, he abounds in love. We need to be loved. In fact, when you finally get into a relationship with somebody that you really love, and you know, what's the game that you play when you're younger? Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you more. Oh, no, I love you most. You know, we try to... How many of you have ever been madly, deeply in love? If you're married, now's a good time to... Just saying. Remember that experience when you really felt deep, genuine, unfettered love? Being forgiven is great. Being reconnected is wonderful. But beyond that, we need this kind of love. Love songs are always talking about, you know, I love you more than the deepest ocean or the highest sky, trying to get that idea of infinity. Look at verse 11. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. At least two of the songs we sang this morning had that word love in it, even three. I think love was one of the main words of the songs we were singing this. Why do we sing that? Well, because we need that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget none of his benefits. I'm forgiven. I'm reconciled. I'm loved. Well, beyond that, a fourth benefit is you are offered complete fulfillment. So after Thanksgiving, the next holiday that comes is? Yeah, some of you got it. Some of you were listening earlier. It's not Christmas, it's Black Friday. I have Google Calendar on my handheld electronic device. And Google Calendar says that Black Friday is actually a national holiday. If you don't believe me, come up afterwards. I shared this with my wife, and she went, "No, not really. No, it really is. It's a national holiday, right?" Black Friday is an interesting holiday, if you would. We get together as family. We spend this week thanking God for all that we have. We sing in worship on Sunday morning. And then we go out on Friday and we trample one another because we want more, because we don't have enough. What? Wait? You know, I'm thankful, but I still need more, right? So what do you need for Christmas? That's different than what you want for Christmas. Have you really gotten it into your head? No, from your head to your heart, that you're forgiven. Not only are you forgiven, you're reconciled in relationship with God. Not only are you reconciled, but he even loves you. That should then lead to, you know what, I don't need anything. Every year, just before Thanksgiving, my wife and I, as we're talking, we, you know, what do you want for Christmas? That's the typical conversation. 2 days ago, we had that conversation. I said, Carol, what do you want for Christmas? And she looked at me with this blank stare like, I don't need anything. I don't even want anything. Have you gotten so far in your walk with Christ, in your relationship with God, that you are so content that if there was nothing under the tree, you would not be disappointed because you are fulfilled? You know, if I'm forgiven and I'm reconciled and I'm loved, suddenly I realize, look at verse 5, He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Are you that fulfilled in your walk with Christ? The final one is you're exonerated. You think that's enough? You're also exonerated. Let me ask a question. Is life fair? Is life fair? Obviously, you have siblings. Life isn't fair, right? Our kids tell us that all of the time. I tell my kids, fair is where you go to ride on rides and eat cotton candy and step in monkey poop. That's what fair is. Life isn't. Because others get credit for stuff that you've done. Others get a position that you feel you should have had. You get blamed when you shouldn't. You're mad at the cop who's pulled you over while others are speeding by. Life just isn't fair, right? Look at verse 6. Life is eventually going to be fair because the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. That's right. Oppression is part of our life. It's part of our world. It's part of our reality. But, well, Psalm 73. I love what the psalmist does in Psalm 73. He starts out with this. He says, as for me, my feet almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And I envied the arrogant. And then he goes on for 12 long verses. And he talks about how pride is their necklace and how they are fat and how he's oppressed. And he says, they even say, God doesn't even know. God doesn't even care. And then he finally comes in verse 13 or 14, somewhere around there. And he says, surely in vain I have washed my hands in innocence until I entered the sanctuary of God and I understood their final destiny. You see, in the end, by the way, which you haven't reached yet, if you'd reached the end, you wouldn't be sitting here right now, right? In the end, God is going to treat you with justice and righteousness. So you're forgiven. More than that, the relationship has been reconciled. Beyond that, you're loved, which should give you fulfillment. And even in the end, even though life might not be fair right now, it will be. Bow one final time, if you would, in prayer and give thanks. We are privileged, Lord God, because we have all of this. And beyond that, we live in a culture, a society, a country, where we can even come and openly express our thanksgiving for your compassion, your love, your reconciliation, the fact that we, if we rest in all that you have given us, are fulfilled, and know that eventually we will be exonerated and righteous and justice will reign. It is a week, Father, for giving thanksgiving, because we live in one of the wealthiest and one of the healthiest environments and countries in the world. Yes, we're thankful for all of that, but deeper than that, Father, we come this morning and worship you because of who you are and because of what you have done. And we give you praise. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. So who gets all of this? Look at verse 18. Those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts. Do you realize you're a special people? That you're set apart? That all of this isn't for everybody. It's just for those who are in the family, who are in the relationship with God through Christ, who are part of the fellowship, who are part of the community of faith. So, what should our focus in the future be? Well, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So, I would conclude by saying, let's give thanks. Would you please stand and read together confessionally this thanksgiving? Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Please be seated.
Thank you, Greg. As promised, we conclude our service with a special number. Leica, come on up. For those of you that don't know, this is my daughter-in-law. Surprised us with saying, hey, we're going to... You got to pick one of these mics. Do you know which one you're supposed to use?
I just like red.
Red, okay. This is Leica, married to Philip, and our two grandkids are here. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Dad.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. The battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified, forever he is lifted high, forever he is risen, he is alive, he is alive. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. And we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He